Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, man, that's a great call by Will Fleming on the Stars and Shaws, WEI, Red Sox Radio Network. What a call by Will Fleming there. Brandon Drury, of all people, Will Fleming says. I completely agree with you. So tonight, your ace, the 7-hitter in the Blue Jays lineup and the 9-hitter in the Blue Jays lineup, took your ace deep. And we heard after the game Alex Cora saying, yeah, he missed on three fastballs. All three of the home runs that Chris Sale gave up tonight were on fastballs. The thing that I want to know, why does he continue to miss his spots? Why in certain starts this season, if you go back to the White Sox start last week, right, if you go back to that start, why couldn't he locate his slider? Why couldn't he find his slider? And in this start in particular, his fastball is tricking nobody. Nobody is getting tricked by Chris Sale's fastball anymore. His fastball isn't dominant enough to beat the Blue Jays. How concerning is that for you, that your ace can't get through the Toronto Blue Jays lineup? That your ace has an ERA over 7 against the Toronto Blue Jays? 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you on Red Sox Review for the next 3 hours or so. Okay, so we get a lot to go through as it pertains to Chris Sale. And I made the comparison last week with Chris Sale. He reminds me of Russell Westbrook. That's who he reminds me of. Chris Sale is that dude that during the regular season, he's going to have some things that make you say, wow, this guy's incredible. Russell Westbrook, that jaw-dropping athleticism. And he gets the shiny numbers, right? He's the shiny toy. Ooh, triple-doubles. Russell Westbrook, the first guy ever to average a triple-double. Then he does it in like three consecutive seasons. But what happens when Russell Westbrook gets to the postseason? Not good enough. Losing the first round to the Blazers this year, right? He has not won a playoff series since Kevin Durant decided to leave him a couple of years ago. Has not won a playoff series since then. Has been the MVP. Has gotten the triple-doubles. But when it matters, when you get to the postseason, the guy doesn't show up. With Chris Sale, he's going to put up some shiny numbers, right? He's going to have 17 strikeouts against the Colorado Rockies. He's going to have a complete game shutout against the Kansas City Royals. He's going to fascinate you in certain starts. You're going to be impressed watching Chris Sale. But when you need him in critical starts, doesn't show up, just like tonight. Tonight was a start where, okay, you clinch a series over the Toronto Blue Jays with a win tonight. For whatever reason, a Toronto Blue Jays team that the Red Sox have trouble with this year. The Toronto Blue Jays are in second last in the American League East, yet the Red Sox are just 6-5 against this team this year. They just dropped 2 of 3 against this team, what, a week ago? Okay, they've been struggling against this team this season. For whatever reason, 6-5 against these guys. So you had Price going last night. You figure you get a win there, which you did. And Chris Sale was supposed to do his job tonight and win this game, and he couldn't get it done. Bottom line, he could not get it done. So when you need him, like, think about it. In the postseason, he hasn't shown up. Astros 2 years ago, they light him up in game one of that series, gives up 3 home runs. Then he comes in to the game in relief in that game 4, where you have an opportunity to send it to a game 5, and Chris Sale, what does he do? Alex Bregman with the home run. This year against the Yankees, need him to perform at a high level, right? This is your ace. This is the guy you're giving all this money to. What's he do against the Yankees? 2 times against the Yankees, gives up 4 earned runs in each of those. So anytime you need Chris Sale to show up, anytime you need Chris Sale to have a big start, he fails to show up. He's MIA. And again tonight, you needed him to clinch the series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Couldn't even do that for you. Could not clinch a series against the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. And you look at it, guy has no command. We don't have any answers for why he has no command, though. We don't know if it's physical. We don't know if it's a mental thing. We don't know what it is. We don't get answers. We just find out that Chris Sale couldn't locate his pitches, like you heard from the manager after the game tonight, where he said he missed on his fastballs. He missed on the location. And when Chris Sale misses on his fastballs, this is the more concerning thing to me. Because I remember over the past couple of years, Chris Sale would miss on certain pitches and whatnot, and guys would still miss, right? Guys would still whiff because Chris Sale's stuff was so overpowering. Chris Sale's stuff was so great that he would get you to strike out. But he's not that guy anymore. He's not that guy because when you're giving up home runs to the seventh hitter and to the ninth hitter in the Toronto Blue Jays order, you're not that guy anymore. So I go through the start tonight and you look at it. First inning looked okay. And he had the three strikeouts. You're feeling good. But then in the second inning is when you could kind of predict, okay, the wheels may start to come off here. You look at that second inning, smokes singles to left, smokes it, 93-mile-an-hour fastball, way too much of the plate. Again, missing on location. Not that he walked him, but he missed it on the location. Then after that, Tellez hammers a double, 96-mile-an-hour fastball, but center cut right down the middle of the plate. He's throwing 96, but it's right down the middle of the plate, and Tellez hammers it. He then, by the way, in that at-bat, he threw Tellez five consecutive fastballs, which I don't understand because in the first inning, the guy's slider was so nasty. So that has something to do with calling the game as well. And that's why I brought it up earlier. I don't understand why Vasquez continues to catch Chris Sale if part of the reason you brought Leon up was to catch Chris Sale. He was going to be kind of like Cody Ross was years ago, or excuse me, David Ross was years ago to John Lester, where he was going to be his personal catcher. That's what I thought was going to happen with Chris Sale and Sandy Leon. That was part of why you brought him up, is because he had worked so well with Chris Sale last year. And now with Vasquez behind the plate, Chris Sale has an ERA north of six. And we've seen with Chris Sale, he doesn't like to take his time like David Price does. David Price likes to take control of the start. He likes to call his own pitches, so to speak. Chris Sale just wants to get on the mound and throw the ball. So that's something that Alex Cora needs to revisit, or at least needs to answer why they're going with Vasquez behind the plate for Chris Sale instead of going with Sandy Leon. If you made this big deal at the beginning of the season to bring up Sandy Leon from AAA so he could catch some of these guys and help out with pitch calling, if you will, game calling, if you will. He's supposed to be like one of the great game callers in all of Major League Baseball, right? That's what we heard when they brought Sandy Leon back up to the team. Part of it was he's great at calling a game. Well, why isn't he catching Chris Sale if that was part of the reason you brought him up? I thought he was supposed to be Chris Sale's personal catcher. Apparently, that's not the case. And clearly, Chris Sale and Christian Vasquez have no rhythm with each other whatsoever. Don't understand why he threw five consecutive fastballs to Tellez tonight, okay? He's also working awfully slow, which is very uncharacteristic of Sale, and I go back to the relationship between him and Christian Vasquez. Clearly, they're not on the same page whatsoever. But then after that in the second inning, Drury hammers a ball to right, and luckily Mookie's right there. But in that inning, that second inning, you had two hits and Drury hammering the ball, and luckily you get out of that one, but not pretty whatsoever, right? So then you go to the third inning, and you had actually given him a lead. Rafael Devers, another Rafael Devers-type night where he drills a ball, two-run single, and you give your starting pitcher, your ace, a 2-0 lead. You figure, all right, we're in control now. We give Chris Sale a 2-0 lead against the Toronto Blue Jays. This should be over. This is the guy you're giving $145 million to. This is the guy that over the past 5 years has been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. You figure, give him a 2-0 lead against this crap lineup, you're going to be good. But then, after Devers gives you the 2-0 lead, what happens? Bottom of the third inning, Galvis rips a double. Changeup. He threw him back-to-back changeups to Galvis. I don't understand that whatsoever. That's not one of Chris Sale's great pitches. Why is Christian Vasquez even calling for that? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. But again, Chris Sale needs to execute the pitches. I'm not trying to let him off the hook because Christian Vasquez was catching him. But I don't understand why he's calling for two back-to-back changeups against Galvis. And also, I don't understand why anybody throws Galvis a strike. This dude will swing at anything. Why are you throwing the guy a pitch over the plate? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But anyway, you get a double play ball to Guerrero, jams him with a fastball, so you think you're going to get out of the inning unscathed, so to speak. But then what happens? Gurriel gets him for a home run. Fastball in. But again, his fastball missed on location, and Gurriel got all of it. And then after that, Biggio rips the ball down the line. Luckily, Chavis makes a play. Should have been a double right there. Great play by Chavis, who has been very suspect in the field over the past couple of weeks, but nonetheless made a big play there. But anyway, more trouble comes for Chris Sale in the fourth inning. And Vasquez, by the way, in the top half of that inning, had just hit a home run to give you a 3-1 lead, and Sale gives it back. So he walks smoke on four pitches. Three fastballs, by the way. And remember, Smoke had already hit safely against Sale on a fastball, so maybe Chris Sale was worried about throwing strikes to Smoke, which is concerning to begin with, right? When your power pitcher, when the guy that is supposed to be the ace of your staff is getting a little bit scared of how to throw to certain guys in the Toronto Blue Jays lineup, alarm bells should be going off, right? That should be petrifying to you as a fan of this team. That Chris Sale, maybe he's scared to throw a fastball over the plate to Justin Smoke. Are you kidding me? Because that's what it seemed like to me tonight in that particular at-bat. But anyway, then Jansen hammers a 95-mile-an-hour fastball home run, and you had gotten Smoke out on a double play. Two outs, Jansen comes out, hammers a 95-mile-an-hour fastball home run. The guy's hitting 199 on the season. He is hitting 199 on the season. He hammers a 95-mile-an-hour fastball out of the park. He ties the ball game up. So you got a 3-3 game right there. Then Drury drills a slider for a single, walks Galvis. Luckily, he gets out of the inning then. But then you fast forward to the sixth inning. It's a 3-3 game at that particular point in time. Tellez with a base hit. Second hit for Tellez in the game. That was on a slider. Then Drury homers on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, middle-middle, nine-hitter, hitting 210 on the season. Okay? 210 on the season coming into this game. Drury hits a home run on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. It just was not good enough. And you think about it. The last two starts for Chris Sale before this weren't good. Six innings, five earned versus the White Sox last week. And remember, we all got caught up on what was going on with the bullpen in that particular outing. Because remember, in that game against the White Sox last week, it was Matt Barnes who gave up a home run in the ninth inning. And that was what we were all talking about, right? 8-7, the bullpen screwed you again. But we forgot that before that, Chris Sale went six innings and he gave up five earned runs against the Chicago White Sox. We forgot about that. We let Sale off the hook because we were talking about the bullpen. But Chris Sale was unbelievably bad in that game as well. 617-779-7937, your number. Brian Barrett with you here on Red Sox Review. If you want to hop on board, what'd you make of Chris Sale's start tonight? Okay, and then you think about a couple of weeks ago against these Jays. Well, really like a week and a half ago, he was bad again. He gave you five innings, seven hits, four runs. Now, luckily in that particular game for Chris Sale, and luckily for his team, they were able to come back and win that game for Chris Sale. They let him off the hook in that game in particular. But now I really start to think about this from Chris Sale's perspective. This is really starting to be troublesome. The ERA now is over four. The ERA is over four on the season. And you start to think about it. You can't depend on him in September. You can't depend on him in the postseason. And right now, you can't depend on Chris Sale from April to August. Alex Cora was talking about earlier in the day that he needs his guys to go deeper in games because, yes, there are issues with the bullpen. We can all acknowledge that that's been a gaping hole all season long, that it's really indefensible that Dave Dombrowski is not upgraded at any point this season. But what has been masked in all that, what has been hidden in all that, is your starting rotation outside of David Price this season has not been good, has not been good whatsoever. You look at Erod this year. He's got a career high in ERA, meaning a career worse ERA. Rick Porcello, same thing. ERA's over five now. Worst of his career. You saw the game the other day in London. Rick Porcello could not make it out of the first inning of that game. Could not make it out of the first inning. He's on the hook for six earned runs. Doesn't even make it out of the first inning of the ball game. Unbelievable. Erod's been somebody that, yeah, he's had a couple of nice starts, but he's got career worst numbers across the board. Hits per nine innings, worst of Erod's career. Then you think about it from the perspective of Nathan Eovaldi's MIA. Nathan Eovaldi's been a non-factor whatsoever. This is a guy that hasn't pitched since April the 17th. And now it's to the point where Nathan Eovaldi's going to have to come back as a closer because they're not going to be able to get him ready to be in that starting role, if you will. Alex Cora said today on OMF, and we'll get to this a little bit later, that it would be a month longer for him to come back from that injury as a starter than it is for him to come back as a closer. So what's been hidden in all the issues with the bullpen this season is the starting pitching has not been nearly good enough. And you think about the investment you've made in this group, right? David Price is making $217 million. But David Price has been good. No way you're going to criticize David Price. He has been fine this season. He has been really good. But that's the one guy you look at in the starting rotation where you say he's actually delivered. Because we've gone through the bullpen, guys. They all suck. But what this Red Sox team did organizationally is they have invested. They have chosen to invest in the starting pitching. So Rick Porcello is making $21 million per season, right? $21 million, final year of his contract. And he's going out there, and he has an ERA north of five. You look at Eduardo Rodriguez, I get it. He's still on a reasonable number because he's early on in his career, if you will. But we're now in year five of Eduardo Rodriguez's career, and this is the worst season that he's had. So there's no improvement whatsoever with Erod. And then you look at the biggest culprit of the issue, the guy that you just awarded $145 million in a new contract extension. What has Chris Sale done this season? Chris Sale has been a complete failure. He now has an ERA over four. We saw the performance tonight. It's absolutely atrocious. What you need from a starting pitcher, especially a guy that is supposed to be the ace of your staff, you need to be able to rely on this guy. Call me crazy, to go out every fifth day and at least put your team in a position to win. And Chris Sale, now his last three starts, and I get it, you came back about a week and a half ago against the Blue Jays and you won that game. But Chris Sale, for his past three starts, he has not put his team in a position to win. And you're playing some of the worst teams in baseball when we're talking about the Blue Jays twice and the Chicago White Sox. He has not done that in his last three starts. The one time he gets a win out of this is because his offense bailed him out. So I heard all this crying at the beginning of the season for Chris Sale. I heard all these people defending Chris Sale at the beginning of the season, that it wasn't about Chris Sale. It's the fact, oh, he gets no run support. Look at the run support, Brian. Well, I saw tonight that this team gave him a 3-0 lead, or I should say a 2-0 lead. They gave him a 3-1 lead. They gave him a 2-1 lead, a 3-1 lead, and it wasn't good enough for Chris Sale. What do you need to give Chris Sale now? So they won the game a couple of weeks ago against the Blue Jays. They lose this game tonight. What do you need? What's the number for Chris Sale now? What does this offense have to do to make Chris Sale a reasonable pitcher in terms of winning games? What do you have to give him? You have to give him 5 runs a game. You have to give him 6 runs a game. You have to give him 7 runs a game. Like, you know, when Erod's getting a start, you got a plan to put up a lot of runs because Erod's not consistent. Now with Rick Porcello, you know that you need to put up a lot of runs to win that game. When you have this thing that you call like the bullpen game, which we're going to see another one of those tomorrow, apparently, when you have those type of games, you got a plan for scoring a lot of runs. But how much more can you ask of this lineup? How much more can you ask of these guys? You can only depend on literally, right now, you can depend on one pitcher, David Price, and the bullpen guy's like, all right, Workman's had a nice season. You can depend on him, although I would question him in a postseason series because he walks too many damn guys. Heath Embry was pitching really well in the bullpen, had 9 consecutive scoreless appearances, if you will. But right now, he's back with the team, but he's been hurt for a little bit. You can't depend on Matt Barnes anymore. So there's like, what, 2 pitchers right now that you can actually depend on in terms of this Red Sox team. And really, only one starter in David Price, because right now, there's no way any of you can legitimately say that the next time Chris Sale's on the mound, you feel comfortable he's going to pitch well. Nobody thinks that anymore. Nobody thinks that anymore. And the problem is the Red Sox have no answers. This dude is in a situation where he can't locate his pitches anymore. And he's also at the point in his career, and maybe he changes this as we go on, because he had a lot of strikeouts in games earlier this season. I know, against the Rockies, he had 17 strikeouts. But for whatever reason right now, when he misses his spots in the zone, guys are all over him. And that never happened to Chris Sale in the past. Chris Sale has always been able to go out there and throw the ball, and it doesn't matter where it goes. He's still going to strike guys out. Remember Pedro Martinez, same way. The stuff was so great that he could strike out. And you think about Chris Sale, he's always been that power pitcher. He's always been the stuff pitcher. And you look at the difference between Sale and Price. Price is a surgeon right now. Price paints because Price knows he doesn't have 96, 97 anymore. His fastball is like 90 miles an hour sometimes. He'll throw 92. He lives 91 to 93, but he paints. Chris Sale has no control of his fastball anymore, and now we're at the point where his fastball isn't the pitch that it once was. Clearly, the Blue Jays are taking him out of the ballpark tonight. 3 home runs off his fastball. And then the other thing I look at is Chris Sale. His out pitches his slider, right? And right now, Chris Sale doesn't have his slider consistently enough.
Throw strikes!
We saw it in the last game against the White Sox. He did not have a slider whatsoever. He did not have a slider, right? It'd be like if Brooks Koepka couldn't drive the ball far anymore, right? If Brooks Koepka wasn't the most dominant player off the tee in the tour anymore, then he wouldn't be the same Brooks Koepka, right? Remember Tiger Woods for all those years where he was struggling, couldn't drive the ball, didn't know where he was going? He struggled until this year at the Masters. Chris Sale, if he doesn't have his slider, who is he? He's Brooks Koepka with no power off the tee. He's Tiger Woods with no power off the tee. He's Steph Curry with no 3-point shot. What is he without his slider? And his slider has not been nearly good enough the past 3 to 4 starts. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on what you make of Chris Sale's start tonight, certainly welcome to do so. What do you make of where your Red Sox are at right now? And some strong comments from Alex Cora earlier today that we'll get to from OMF. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
Oh, no. Stop throwing sliders.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, Chris Sale right now, he came into the night with a 3.88 ERA. That ERA has now bumped up to 4.04 on the season. Here are some guys that have better ERAs right now than Chris Sale. Tanner Roark, Wade Miley, we all remember Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff, Brett Anderson. These are guys with a better ERA right now than the guy that is supposedly the ace of the Red Sox staff. Those guys, they've been better than Chris Sale this year, just letting you know. 617-779-7937 is the number. Red Sox Review, Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. Let's get to Sean in Worcester. Sean, what's up?
Hey, listen, you're wrong about Sale. One thing...
Right, in what way? What do you mean?
One thing that's up with him is his mechanics are screwed up. He's got a funky delivery, and they don't know how to fix it. And I think he's afraid of hurting his shoulder again. So he's just kind of, going through the motions right now.
I don't think that's unfair. Maybe there is something to that. I don't think that's an unfair observation by you. But still, I mean, he's not going out there and delivering like he needs to be. And that's another concern I have, Sean, is that the guy, he's got a very slight build. You knew eventually his body would break down. Every September he breaks down. And maybe it's just breaking down earlier this season.
Now, look at him. He had 17 strikeouts not too long ago.
Yeah, like 2 months ago. Great. I mean, look at his last 3 starts.
But how do you fix his delivery? There should be a pitching coach, that should know how to, do something to help his delivery.
But this guy's been a major league pitcher for like almost a decade now. You need the pitching coach to help you fix your delivery now after you just got $145 million? I mean, you've been a Cy Young caliber pitcher. You need the pitching coach to help you with your mechanics? That doesn't make any sense.
He watch some old games of him. He's off just a little bit.
I would agree that he's off, and I don't think it's just a little bit, Sean, and I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. I wish it was just as simple as a little adjustment, and they could tell him what to do, and he would be fine. I mean, that would be great. Then maybe you could get the Chris Sale of old back, but clearly that isn't the case right now. He's not in a situation right now where there's just this little adjustment that Chris Sale can make and he can perform at a high level again, because clearly if there was, he would have made it. I don't think there's some secret thing that he's not doing. He's just not pitching well right now. And I don't think it's out of the question to ask, maybe he's just breaking down this year earlier than he's broken down in previous seasons. Usually it's in September. What are we at right now? July, maybe he's breaking down. Maybe his body's breaking down again. And I don't think it's outlandish that maybe he does have something going on from a physical perspective. But you're never going to be able to change Chris Sale's delivery and whatnot and him be the same dominant pitcher that he's always been. Part of what has made Chris Sale great is that herky-jerky delivery. He comes from the side. It's that crossfire, if you will. Remember, and I'm not saying he's like this guy from a size perspective, but remember the freak in San Francisco, Tim Lincecum. It got ugly for him really, really quickly. It got ugly for him, and he was another guy with an odd delivery. Now, he was a much smaller guy than Chris Sale, but Chris Sale is slight. You're talking 6'6". He's like, what, 180 pounds? This guy is tiny. He's not big whatsoever. So I don't think it's out of the question whatsoever that Chris Sale could just be breaking down sooner than he usually does. A couple of things I wanted to touch on from a game-specific thing tonight. So the first one is in the top of the seventh inning, You have second and third with one out. The Boston Red Sox do. You're down 5-3 in this game. Good opportunity, right? You would think second and third with one out. This is one of the things that's been problematic for the Red Sox all season long, is the situational hitting, if you will. Now, I'm not putting this game on the Red Sox offense. This is about Chris Sale. Now, it'd be nice to score more than three runs, and I don't want to get all over the Red Sox offense because for the most part this year it's been great. But I just look at it from this perspective. Top of the seventh inning, second and third with one out, and they bring in Daniel Hudson, who's a good reliever for them. But again, all you have to do is get the ball deep enough into the outfield or hit it to the right side of the infield, and you get at least one run in there, right? Make it a 5-4 game. You pinch hit Nunez for Brock Holt. What's he do? Pops out, but it's too shallow. Okay? So you don't get a run in there. And then Mookie Betts comes up to the plate, and Mookie Betts strikes out. And that's kind of been the story of Mookie Betts' season. There's been no moment this year that you've had that Mookie moment that you had so many times last year where Mookie came out. You think about the grand slam he had against Happ when Happ was with the Blue Jays last year. They always replay that, right? Because that was a huge moment for Mookie in his MVP campaign. But tonight, when you had an opportunity, two guys out there, second and third, two outs, you needed your guy to come through. You needed Mookie Betts to come through. Couldn't get it done. Again, could not get it done this season. Mookie Betts is somebody that has not been consistent all season long. And I get the on-base percentage is still really, really good. And he scores a lot of runs. But the batting average has dipped off by like 80 points this year. OPS, he was at 1078 last year. He's well under 900 this year. And I'm not saying like he's been a bad player, but he hasn't been anywhere near the player that you thought you had last year. And that's what I look at with Mookie Betts, is I thought that Mookie Betts was going to be in the family photo of the best players in Major League Baseball for the next 4 to 5 years. And maybe I was dumb for believing in that. Maybe I was just dumb for thinking he was going to be that good. But I thought last year he turned the corner. Right, but if you look at the numbers from a historic perspective with Mookie Betts, he's had one season where he's had an OPS over 900, and that just so happened to be his MVP season a year ago. So this is the Mookie Betts that you're probably going to see over the next couple of years or so. He's going to be a really good player, but he's never going to be in that conversation. He's never going to be in that family photo for the best players in Major League Baseball. He's just not going to be there. There's no evidence that tells you he is. We have 1 year of data where Mookie Betts has been great. I look at it this year, and I get the Bogarts had a rough night tonight where he struck out four times. Rafael Devers, though, not a rough night for him. He had a two-run single. Now, he did have a strikeout in the game as well, but he had a two-run single. You think about last night, the guy had four hits. He had a home run to opposite field. He had a home run to right field that he hit 419 feet, and he hit a single 113 miles per hour. So Rafael Devers was exceptional last night. Another two-run single tonight. The guy came into today second in the American League in hitting. And I would have never thought coming into this season that you would say for the future of this organization, you would say that Bogarts and Devers are both better for the future of this organization than Mookie Betts. And I truly believe that to be the case now. I truly do, because I think about Mookie Betts, this is a guy that, remember, he wants a new contract, right, eventually. And he's not negotiating with the Red Sox right now. They offered him 8 years for $200. Doesn't want that. He wants much more money when he gets to the open market. But it seems like Mookie Betts is somebody that does not want to be here long term. So eventually the Red Sox are going to have to start to think, when is it time to move on from this guy? Now, I wouldn't advocate it doing it now at the trading deadline on July 31st, because I actually look at Mookie Betts. He's not having a great season. The value for Mookie Betts is going to be higher in the offseason. So if you want to talk to him and try to get it, and at a reasonable number for Mookie Betts, fine, you can do that. That's your prerogative. I have no issue with Mookie Betts on a long-term deal here. But if he's not going to be here, you can't have a Washington Nationals situation. You can't do that if you're the Boston Red Sox. You cannot have the Washington Nationals situation where Bryce Harper just walks at the end of the season when you knew the team wasn't good enough and you knew that Bryce Harper was going to go to the highest bidder and you knew that you were not going to be the highest bidder. So whether or not it's at the trading deadline this year with... Well, but like I said, I wouldn't advocate it doing it at this particular point in time. I would wait until the offseason. I'd go to Mookie, give him a number. If he says no, then I would say, all right, here we go. We have Mookie Betts, former American League MVP, up for grabs. Who wants Mookie Betts? And I'm sure that Mookie Betts would fetch you a whole lot in terms of replenishing your farm system. Because the one thing you can say about Mookie Betts, now from my perspective, the guy is completely overrated. Okay, he's had one unreal season. He had a good year 2 years ago. and this year has not been particularly good. Okay, Devers has been better than him. Bogarts has been better than him. JD Martinez has been better than him. So the past couple of years have not been great. Last year was great. This year has not been great. And he's been like the fourth or the fifth best player on his own team. Okay, so what I would say at the end of the season is, hey, Mookie, if you don't want to agree to a contract extension, we're not playing this game. We're not going to sit back and let this thing go to free agency, right? We're not going to be the Charlotte Hornets of Major League Baseball where we got Kemba Walker and we just let him go in free agency because we knew we weren't going to pay him. We weren't going to pay him that $221 million. No, we need to get something back for you. And we all know that the Red Sox, in terms of their farm system, it's one of, if not the worst in Major League Baseball. Some entities before the season, you look at Baseball Reference, FanGraphs, they rank the Red Sox as the worst farm system in Major League Baseball. So you're clearly going to need to replenish that group. And the biggest fish you have to do that is Mookie Betts. So after the season, and hopefully Mookie Betts has a better second half of the season for the sake of the Red Sox, because clearly they're going to need him to, because it feels like this Red Sox team is going to have to score like, what, 10 runs on a consistent basis to win games because of the fact that you know the pitching staff is going to let you down, with the exception of David Price. And we all know the bullpen has been a mess all season long. So hopefully Mookie Betts can add to the offense that has already been great. And I'm not trying to make it out to be like Mookie's been a liability. He's had a fairly good season, but he just has been not nearly the player he was a season ago. So you think about what you can get on the open market for Mookie Betts. We're talking about a massive, massive trade. And you're going to get more than the Orioles got for Manny Machado last year, because when Manny Machado was traded, it was at the deadline when he was about to be a free agent. When you look at Mookie Betts, Mookie Betts is going to be in a situation where if you trade him next offseason, this is going to be a situation where that team's going to have a whole year with Mookie Betts, and you could possibly negotiate a contract long-term with Mookie Betts as well. If Mookie Betts says no to the Red Sox number, whatever number they come in at, if he says no, then you say, all right, Mookie, it was nice knowing you. You don't want to commit to the team? Because I know that Xander Bogaerts said, I want to be here long-term. And now that's like one of the only things this offseason, I guess technically into the season with Xander Bogaerts, because he signed it early on in the season. So I guess technically it happened during the season. But that's one of the only good contracts that Dave Dombrowski has signed over the past 6 to 8 months. All the other contracts have been absolutely garbage. So what this team needs to do is they need to replenish the farm system, and Mookie Betts is the guy that's going to get you return. Now, like I said, I would love to have Mookie Betts long term, but it seems like he's going to be asking for an unreasonable number. And Mookie's the guy that said prior to this season that he's not going to talk about a new contract. He's not going to sign anything, or he didn't say directly not sign anything, but he's willing to wait until free agency. Mookie Betts said that. He's willing to wait till free agency. So at that particular point in time, if you're the Red Sox, your hands are tied. You don't want your guy just walking for nothing like we saw with the Nationals, like we saw with Kyrie Irving, right? Now, I understand different situation with Kyrie because you thought you may have him long term. Mookie Betts is literally telling you that he's not going to be here long term. Whether or not he's saying that directly, by not wanting to negotiate an extension like Xander Bogaerts did when Xander Bogaerts came to you and said, I would like a contract extension. He said, I want to be here long term, right? He actually went out of his way to make it a priority. I want to sign with you guys long term. Mookie Betts has not said anything to indicate that. He may say, oh, I love playing in Boston and all this. Well, if he did, he would want to get a contract extension done now. And I wonder, too, the whole thing with Mookie Betts and the contract, I wonder if that's in his head right now. I really wonder that, because there is no way you can explain a dip off 80 points in the batting average. Maybe Mookie Betts is pressing a little bit at the plate. Maybe that's what's going on with Mookie Betts right now. Maybe he's pressing to the point where he's holding the bat a little too tight. We've seen him revert back to some of the habits he had a couple of years ago, where he lets too many pitches go in an at-bat instead of swinging early on in the count. So who knows? For whatever reason, he's not nearly the same player he was a season ago. And I think about it, the only difference from this year compared to last year is he's been talking about his contract before the season, and everybody has been talking about it in the national media and whatnot, that there is a situation where Mookie Betts could get somewhere between $300 and $400 million. He could get the Mike Trout contract. So I wonder if part of that is what is adding to Mookie Betts not being the same player he was a season ago. 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on the start from Chris Sale tonight. What should the Red Sox do at the deadline? Should they be buyers? Should they be sellers? Plus, some interesting stuff that Alex Cora said as it pertains to Nathan Eovaldi, as it pertains to the trading deadline. We'll get into all of it. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pitch. Swing and a foul tip out of the glove. No, a miss. The catcher, Jansen, corrals it behind the plate and throws to first. Betts was looking back to Larry Vanover as if to say, I got a piece of that. He did not. It's a strikeout swinging, and the Red Sox will strand the tying runners at second and third. So Hudson, who's got the word Skaggsy in honor of his former teammate and close friend, Tyler Skaggs, on the hat. Makes some big pitches and escapes an enormous jam. Charlie Montoyo plays the right card and going to the stretch in Toronto. The Jays hanging on. They lead it 5-3.
All right, Will Fleming on the call. Red Sox Radio Network right here on WEI. Your number 617-779-7937. As Mookie Betts goes down, critical moment tonight for Mookie Betts. What happens? What happens to Mookie Betts in a critical moment tonight? Well, 5-3 game in the seventh inning. Runners on first and second, and Mookie Betts cannot come through. The MVP of the American League has not shown up for the season. I get it. You can give me the on-base percentage and all that, and it's still a pretty good on-base percentage. But you can't tell me Mookie Betts, you believe that Mookie Betts is going to somehow turn it around this year, and you're going to see the Mookie Betts that we saw a season ago. He had a month last year where he hit 9 home runs. He had another month last year where he had 8 home runs. He has not been nearly the same player this season. Mookie Betts has not come through when you need him to come through. You had a chance tonight, 5-3 game, runners on second and third, and what does Mookie Betts do? He strikes out. This guy has a .210 batting average against left-handed pitching this year. Last year, his batting average against lefties was over .380. The guy has completely dipped off in terms of his production at the plate. And that's why I look at it from Mookie Betts' perspective, and I say to myself, if I'm the Boston Red Sox, I got to think about trading this guy in the offseason, because it'd be great to have him. The guy's a great leadoff hitter. Everyone would acknowledge he's a great leadoff hitter. But here's the thing about Mookie Betts. He has not given you any indication that Mookie Betts definitely wants to be here long term. He has not given you that indication that he wants to be here long term. In fact, he said it's more likely that he's going to wait until free agency before he makes a decision on where he's going to be playing baseball. He likes being in Boston, but doesn't like it enough to do what Xander Bogaerts did and say, hey, I want to be here long term. And Mookie Betts this year has completely dipped off. He's not nowhere near the player he was a season ago. He's going to go down as a guy that just so happened to win an MVP. It's not one of these guys that you think about every time the MVP conversation comes up. Like for a decade, Albert Pujols always in that conversation. Okay, now Mike Trout always in that conversation. Alex Rodriguez always in that conversation. Mookie Betts is not going to be somebody that is always in that conversation. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Melanie. She's in Lynn tonight. What's up, Melanie?
Red Sox fan, Red Sox Nation, and I just think that we need to like change our tone and our tune. You know, we're not going to win the World Series this year. We won last year. And I like just not cry about it and whine. It is what it is. We are good. But just, it's not this year. It's not happening. But we are Red Sox. We are Red Sox Nation, and we rule no matter what. All right? And a woman has to, like, tell you guys that? Come on. I mean, it is what it is. We got it. We do have it. We had it. It's not working right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think they have it, though, Melanie. That'd be my point. I appreciate the phone call.
Are we in last place? Are we in last place?
No, but what does that have to do with anything?
Oh, you know, then we do have it. Come on. You know,
have what?
We have them, so
what do they have?
We are Red Sox Nation. We won a World Series last year, right?
Yeah, that was last year. We're talking about this year, Melanie. I appreciate the phone call.
We're Boston fans, and we got to, you know, ask, you know, we are number one regardless, right?
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Melanie. You can grab her line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. Yeah, I can't go back to last year and say, yeah, I'm just satisfied with that, because here's the difference with the Red Sox. They have the largest payroll in Major League Baseball, right? So what's been going on with the Red Sox this year is indefensible, because I don't even put it so much on the players, because the lineup has delivered. Now, there's certain players that have not lived up, Mookie Betts specifically, Chris Sale specifically, especially we saw it on display tonight, where he gave up 5 earned runs and he only had 5 strikeouts. When do you see that from Chris Sale? And this is right after you gave Chris Sale that massive contract in the offseason. He has not performed. The biggest issue that you have with the Red Sox, though, is that for a team that is paying this much money, they took something for granted and never fixed it. The bullpen, they still have not addressed it. The only thing we know about the bullpen is this. Dave Dombrowski says whenever Nathan Eovaldi comes back, he's the closer. That's all we know. Whenever he comes back, he's the closer. We don't have a definitive date on when that is. We did hear that it's going to be around the All-Star break, so maybe in that Dodgers series right after the All-Star break, and that would be appropriate because, remember, Nathan Eovaldi built up his legacy as a Red Sox in that game that he lost, you remember, against the Dodgers, but he went out there and he gutted out for 7 innings. But the problem with this team is they've had a gaping hole all season long, and the president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, has done nothing about it. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Kyle in Narragansett. What's up, Kyle?
What's going on? So I couldn't disagree with you more about Mookie Betts.
Okay.
I think he's absolutely someone who's going to be in the MVP conversation for years to come. I just look at him, I see him as a clear top 10 player in the MLB. And I feel like people are forgetting, like, he's leading the league in runs scored right now in the AL. Like, this guy, even though I admit he's having, I guess, a down year, but I think part of that is just the confusion of where is he going to go next. And I'm curious about what you think, because I wouldn't be surprised to see Mookie go to L.A. to play for the Dodgers, because where else could he go? I mean, where do you see him going? I'm not convinced he's coming back to Boston.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back to Boston at all. I could see L.A. because we know that the Dodgers are willing to spend a lot of money, and there'd be a nice little tandem there, him and Cody Bellinger going forward. I could see him going to the Dodgers, but what I want them to do, Kyle, is trade him before you get to that point. I don't care. If Mookie Betts isn't going to be here, I don't care where the hell he plays, just as long as you get return on it. That's why I'm saying I wouldn't do it at the deadline this year, because it feels like Mookie Betts' value is not as high as it could be. And when you do it in the offseason, you include teams that aren't like contenders at the deadline, right? So I would do it at the offseason and figure out who's got the best possible package, because we all know that you need to replenish this farm system. So quite frankly, I don't care, but where he ends up going, as long as the Red Sox get a package back for him in terms of they actually make a trade, because they can't go into the following offseason and not have Mookie Betts committed or traded. That would be my biggest concern with them.
So Mookie's got another year on his contract.
Well, next year he's.
I thought this was his last year.
No, next year he's still under club control. He's still got one more year where they're going to pay him like $20 million, whatever it is. And I appreciate the call, Kyle. Remember, he's still under club control. Appreciate the call, Kyle. You can grab his line if you'd like it at 617-779-7937. So next year he'll go to arbitration again. He'll get another big number if the Red Sox decide to keep him. But I wouldn't even do it. I would be in a position where before next season, I decide to trade Mookie Betts and get a lot back in the farm system so I can rebuild this. Because remember, the farm system sucks right now, okay? And I understand you feel good about a lot of the position players you have, but Mookie Betts is somebody that can bring you back a king's ransom, so to speak. And if he doesn't want to be here, if he's not committing to you, and there's no assurance that you're going to be able to sign him when he heads into free agency, what's the damn point of keeping the guy around? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. All right, 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board here. Would you make a Chris Sale start tonight? What should the Red Sox do at the deadline? Should they be buyers or sellers? And an interesting comment from Alex Cora earlier today on OMF. We'll get to that right here on WEI.
We are Red Sox Nation.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.